Software security has always been a tough nut to crack, and that's never been so true for the software developer as it is today in this age of DevOps, where developers are being asked to write scripts that will kick off various environments in the cloud. To figure out the things that software developers and enterprise architects need to know about securing their environments in the cloud, we got in touch with Dome9's CTO and co-founder, Roy Fentouch. The first question we asked Roy was, what is it that software developers need to know today about securing their software and securing their environments in the cloud?
Security in the cloud is more relevant to developers than security in the old world. And why is that? Because in the old world, I'm talking about the on-prem environment and you know architecture that we've built 5-10 years ago, the developers, you know, were minded with their code and some IT ops deployed that and some network security guys manage the network and the firewalls and all this stuff. And, you know, everyone had his job. Well, that siloed approach was kind of pretty much broken once companies started to move to the cloud and started to develop kind of DevOps practices.
Now, you make the comparison between what we did in the past and what we're doing today with cloud-based environments. How do the modern cloud-based environments change the software security game?
If in the past, let's say, we had some network security device, like a checkpoint firewall or something like that, so in the past, kind of a traditional network security, people had the credentials to log into this firewall and to add rules. Now in this brave new world where we are talking about infrastructure as code, and everything is, you know, software is also driving the production environments. Everything is now template-based and software-based. So it is now software to drive the configuration, the architecture of those new architectures. So instead of having this this network physical box network device, you have now API call provided by the cloud provider, if it's Amazon or Azure or Google, that provides network security as a service, and it's one API call away. So now all that network security configuration has moved from this tribal know-how of how to configure a checkpoint or a Juniper or whatever device to just one more configuration of the cloud, part of my cloud formation template in the Amazon environment or part of my Terraform deployment. So most of that heavy lifting is moved from the, you know, IT ops to DevOps and developers who own the software-defined environment.
Now, what are you seeing as some of the most common vulnerabilities that organizations are leaving open when they have their enterprise software hosted in the cloud?
Let's start by the fact that the cloud could be as, if not much more, secure than a traditional environment. And that is kind of backed up by a lot of modern know-hows. But the thing is that in the cloud, a misconfigured cloud can be dangerous because everything is could be public. Where even a misconfigured, let's say a network storage device that is misconfigured from security perspective, back in the old enterprise network, it had some protection of being, you know, somewhere inside the corporate network that was kind of protected. In the cloud, every little configuration mistake could lead to a system compromise or at least some data leak. So you have identified, you correctly named S3 as a very common kind of, it's responsible for many of the last known data breaches. So that's a great example. But frankly, every element that you can configure in the cloud can be the misconfiguring the attack vector for this attack. So for example, security groups, which are the firewall rules of the cloud. So that is super commonly misconfigured. So and these kind of misconfiguration probably exposing servers that need to be internal. We saw some kind of such configuration that caused, if I'm not mistaken, a leak with Microsoft Azure Red Hat Management Server a few months ago. So we are seeing almost every element that can be configured can be also misconfigured, and in the cloud, usually those misconfiguration are kind of one strike away from having your data exposed or your machines compromised.
So what types of services does Dome 9 provide in order to help organizations deal with their public cloud security vulnerabilities?
So Dome 9 provides, this is not a kind of either or. Dome 9 provides security services to help the organization better secure and manage their cloud security. Some of these tools are interactive tools where, you know, architects and developers and security professionals can review their environment from visual perspective or some kind of reporting perspective and kind of find those needles in the haystack. Some of the controls that Dome 9 provides are totally automatic and kind of appeal to developers and DevOps that utilize the system. Everything in the Dome 9 system is API driven, so we're seeing a lot of different use cases, from use cases where enterprises and financial institutions use Dome 9 to lock their environments from configuration, and then a part of their continuous integration or CI/CD pipeline in a very specialized, well-defined infrastructure upgrade windows, those CI/CD pipelines contact the Dome 9 APIs. Dome 9 unleash the protection from that environment, let their automation roll and do this stuff, and then once the automation is done, uploading or creating this infrastructure change, Dome 9 will, again, this CI/CD pipeline issues another command for Dome 9 to log the environment. So this is one case of Dome 9 operating in a fully kind of DevOps CI/CD pipeline environment. Another use case is the Dome 9 assessment, security assessment engine. So that assessment is also can be driven by APIs. So this is very common to see companies, after after a deployment, they wish to run a security scan for the environment and immediately trigger a Dome 9 assessment as part of that post-deployment event.
Now, you talk about Dome 9 having an API-based interface. What is an API-based interface, and why is that important for your clients?
So the idea is that every command that is that can be done from the Dome 9 user interface can also be done using the Dome 9 APIs. And the fact is that we, our front-end team, our application team, are building all their user interface using the same APIs that are accessible to our customers. So this means that every button and workflow you see in the application can be also automated as part of a user script, a customer flow, and then be integrated into Dome 9. Dome 9 is intended to be a part of a larger security and orchestration orchestra, and to play nice in this modern DevOps-centric world.
So when an organization moves to a public cloud hosted environment, what are some of the most common problems you see them making initially as they start trying to get things set up?
So There are multiple fronts which are we find many users challenged by. First is managing security groups, so firewalls in the cloud. Once the environment gets to be large and complex, when it's in the tens and hundreds of security groups that are connected to maybe hundreds or thousands of servers or in virtual machines instances, then we see in almost every customer that onboard the system, we see some kind of misconfiguration that could yield to security incidents. So security groups is very common. Also, we see exposure with S3 buckets. Although we as Dome9 not necessarily know if that was intentional and or not, but the end user should know which part of his S3 buckets are really providing public information and which of them are internal only buckets and should be and are misconfigured and maybe leaking information right now. So S3 buckets, security groups. And another thing that we find a lot of users challenge with is properly configuring identity and access management policies in the cloud, where AWS, for example, provides very, very powerful system, but the fact that it's so powerful and it's so granular also means that the system is pretty complicated and granular. So we are seeing customers that are challenged and often misconfigured their environments most of the time in too permissive ways.
So given the commonality of these types of issues, why do you think those particular issues happen? Is it a lack of training? Is it a lack of time? And for that matter, when those problems do occur, what type of guidance can you provide your clients in order to rectify the situation and eliminate those security vulnerabilities?
Okay, that's a good question. So the basic idea is comes with kind of we have two approaches to answer your question or those customer challenges. And one of them is try to provide some means of reporting and kind of queries that help the user make sure and assess that that his environment is properly configured. He's trying now to find the misconfiguration. But you know, this is the solution. Before that, I remember now that you asked what are the reasons for that, and you mentioned a few kind of possibilities, and I think it's a mixture of all of these. It is a complex system that requires a time to get it right, and the kind of the pros or the ROI for many of the people who, you know, need to deliver software. So now you have, let's say you have a new microservice that consumes some APIs and Amazon APIs. And again, I'm saying Amazon, it's true for every public cloud. They have kind of similar systems, so it's kind of similar things. I'm using Amazon just because a lot of Dome9 customers are Amazon customers. It's by far the largest cloud provider. So a lot of the examples are from there. So let's say that you're deploying a new microservice, a new system, and you need to, you know, to get shit done, get stuff done. So yes, you can research the minimal permissions that I can give to my service, and really iterate on that and fine-tune that and try and error, give the minimal permissions. Or you can give a kind of a broader asterisk kind of permission and continue with your day. So I think it's a kind of mixture of all these reasons. And now from the kind of why are we here, to how can we help to solve some of these challenges. So again, one of the tools is kind of interactive reporting and kind of a user interface that helps to find, hey, show me all the users that have allow all permission on, I don't know, S3 buckets or manage XYZ. And then it's pretty easy to find, hey, why are these users here? Why are these roles have such permissions? So all sorts of kind of reporting tools to help find that needle in the haystack. It's number one. The second tool that we provide is actually a dedicated service that is called IAM Safety, which acts as a firewall for your IAM configuration. So using this service, Dom9 administrators or customers can define in advance a policy that determines which kind of actions they would never want an attacker or someone, let's say, that compromised an admin user's credential, which kind of actions we never wish to allow this attacker. For example, deleting my database servers or deleting my my encryption keys, or maybe even accessing my database backups or changing my DNS values. So these kind of irreversible actions are things that you define one time in advance, and then you apply this kind of firewall policy, but this time it's not a network firewall, it's an identity and access management policy firewall. So you apply that across the board. So now all your users, all your roles in your account have degraded privileges. And now the admin users that do need from time to time to do dangerous stuff like changing DNS values or deleting or accessing a database backup, only in these periods those users will first elevate themselves using the Dom9 system, the Dom9 mobile app. They will kind of acquire an elevation list. And then the domain system behind the scenes will elevate their role, and they will be able to use the Amazon APIs or the Amazon console and do their dangerous work.
So if you are hosting enterprise software in the cloud, it behooves you to head over to Dom9 and check out some of their security solutions. You can go to their site, dom9.com. You can follow them at Twitter, @Dom9. And you know what? You can even talk to Roy Fentouch at Roy Fentouch. FEIN on Twitter.